Well, let me just pray to begin. Father, we thank you for this morning, and speak to us. Let your words flow, and we invite you. This is your place, and we want you to be a part of it, because it's for you. In your name we pray. Amen. Eric Falomir is one of the boys that you saw in the pictures. He was by the yellow bus. And he came to the home when he was 7 years old. He's now in 10th grade. But when he came, his mom had severe epilepsy. And him and his younger brother would drag their mom out of the street because she would fall in the middle of the road from her attacks. And when they came, we took them in, and years started to go. He's been with us for 9 years. He's now in 10th grade. He's playing the guitar and just really eager to see what the Lord has for his life. And when we see that, and we go through the hard times, we go back to that. We go back to seeing Eric. We have another little girl. Her name is Jocelyn. She was found in the mountains of Juarez, wandering around, naked. And she'd been lost for 3 days. It was all over the news, and we were glad that they took us to our home because we were able to show her Jesus' love. A few months later, she was jumping up and down and just knowing that she was a little four-year-old. That's all she was. Stories like that repeat over and over at Emmanuel Children's Home. And we have 97 children that we care for. Their stories are all different, but they're the same because they all need someone to love them. Their circumstances have gotten them to where their main care providers cannot provide that care. So we thank God for that opportunity. We really do. My father, his name is Josue Lopez, came to Emmanuel Children's Home in 1963, and he's been there for 40 years, and the Lord has used him in a powerful way. But today I really want to tell you the story of how God is caring for the children at Emmanuel. And it's been a privilege for my family to be a part of that. But really, it's God that deserves all the glory, and it's really him who's done all the work. 5 years ago, my father's health deteriorated, and he decided that it was time to pass on the mantle, and he gave it to my brother, Jonathan. And Jonathan started to really take on the mantle and do different things for the ministry. And he worked very hard at trying to embrace the vision that God had for the ministry. But things got really complicated in his life, and I think he lost perspective. And I think we can all do that. When we are in a place that it's been there for years and years, and people, like Chris was describing, you know, it is a wonderful place. It is a place where there's hope and there's opportunities. But if you don't understand that this is the work of the Lord, it can get really dangerous because it's a lot. And when you start thinking that, wow, look what I'm doing. I am really smart. I can really do this. Then our minds and our hearts lose perspective, and we can just start walking the wrong way. And I believe in my heart this is what happened with my brother. He lost perspective, and he started really to take on everything that went around him as something that he needed to resolve, as something that he needed to take care of, as something that he needed to do. And it's impossible. It's impossible. He started to think that he needed to protect the home. He needed to protect the children from the violence that our city is experiencing. So he got involved with a group of policemen and started to train in paintball exercises. And the paintball exercises turned into real exercises. And then they turned into, well, maybe I can help you get better equipped so that you can fight crime better. And something really innocent and with really good intentions got completely out of control, to where March 19th came and he was arrested because he was trafficking with guns. He was right at the border, and the store where they had been buying the guns basically called the police and said, there are some weird guys here buying guns, and we don't know what this is about. And, you know, that night we had an Easter presentation coming up, and we couldn't find him for rehearsals. And it was, you know, a confusing time because we really didn't know where he was until we got a call at 2 in the morning from him, you know, a collect call saying that he'd been arrested. And then we were really confused. Okay, arrested for what? From that moment on, it was one of those things where my father was out of town, and he really has not been involved directly with the ministry for the last 5 years. It's been my brother and I who had been doing all the work on the day-to-day. So it was one of those pressures, you know, that I felt, okay, Jonathan's gone. I am the next one that takes care of things. So, God, you're telling me that I'm supposed to fix all of this? And really, he said, no. I'm not telling you that you're supposed to do anything. All I want is for you to be open for what I'm about to do. And a real road of trust started in my personal life and in the life of my husband and all of those around at Emmanuel. We all knew that what the Lord wanted was to take care of the children. And it really didn't matter who was sitting in the CEO position. That was very obvious that day. Because for years and years, my father had prepared my brother to do this. And in our logical minds, it was, well, then if Jonathan was supposed to do this, where is he? Why this, you know, you start to wonder, why did this happen, God? How did this get to go this way? But, you know, the Lord just didn't let us go there to start asking why. It was a time of taking care of the children and of figuring out what needed to happen. And it was a time to trust. When he was arrested on Wednesday, and 3 days later, my husband's mother fell gravely ill and was admitted to the hospital. And days later, she passed away. So during the time I'm trying to figure out things for my brother, my husband is grieving his mom and trying to deal with the hospital. And I felt really alone. And I started to pray, how am I supposed to do this, God? How am I supposed to do this? And the whole trust word kept coming up. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? And I wanted to say, yes, God, I trust you. But then I thought in my mind, if I say, yes, I trust you, then why am I so worried? But then how can I say, no, God, I don't trust you? So then you start to really seek in your heart, how much do I trust you? And it's a really good question for ourselves to ask in the difficult times, because it's very easy to trust him when everything is great. And that had been for us, our life. You know, God was good, and he has provided for Emmanuel Ministries for 45 years. Every cent that comes through, the Lord provides. We had never found ourselves in a situation like this where the main leader of the ministry was out of the picture. So we were really having to depend on what God wanted to do and where he wanted to go. I remember you know, people started to pray for me and say, you know, you're going to have to do this. And I just prayed, you know, God, I really don't want to have to do this. I want to do this. Because I don't want to inherit this ministry from my father or from my brother. This is your ministry. And I want you to place me. I want you to give it to me. And he took me to the story of Esther. And it's a really beautiful story about this young woman that becomes a queen. And, you know, it goes really, gets difficult for her. And I thought, oh God, you want me to be like Esther? And, you know, if I perish, I perish, really? But really, when I started to read, he took me to Esther 4:14. And it was, "For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance shall arise for the Jews from elsewhere. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows but that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this, and for this very occasion." And what was the most shocking part for me, or the thing that was touching my heart the most, was not that you will perish, or you will, you know, you either do this or you and your father's house will die. It kind of felt like that at the moment. It was, deliverance shall arise for the Jews from elsewhere. The Lord was telling me, I am going to take care of these children. I will do that because I have been doing that for 45 years. And that is my heart. I will take care of the children of Emmanuel. But you can choose to be part of that. You can choose to be an instrument for the Lord to care for these children. Because otherwise, deliverance shall arise from elsewhere. And it was really powerful for my life. Because he was actually telling me, you don't have to do this. You have a choice. You can tell me, you know what, God, this is too hard for me. Emmanuel Ministries is too big. I'm just a girl. So I'm packing my family and I'm, you know, going somewhere else where life will be easy, because I knew hard moments were going to come. But the Lord was saying, my children will be cared for. I'm giving you this opportunity. And I said, yes, I want that opportunity. If you come with me, if you do this, because there is no way that I can do this. There is no way that my husband and I can do this. There is no way that we can provide. There is no way. Only you can do this, God. And it was one of those things where he said, I have been doing this for 45 years. So we will do this. And we started doing it. You know, we started each day at a time. Thank you. Each day, new challenges arose. And my first fear was, okay, God, I think people are going to start calling and saying, you know what? This is not really good. So we really don't care for Emmanuel anymore. And it was one of those things like, okay, how do I tell people? Who do I tell? You know, this is Thursday morning after we found out he's been arrested. And who do I call first? Who I don't? And God took care of it. He started to show me he was going to take care of it immediately because it was all over the news. So God said, you know what, Patel, you don't need to worry about who you're going to tell, because I'm telling everybody. And, you know, as scary as that was, it was such a relief. Because then, you know, I didn't have that opportunity to, oh, maybe we can make up a story, you know, and say that he went off to minister in China. You know, it's, you know, it was like, no, you know, God was... This is the time of truth. This is the time of my glory and for me to be known by all of these people that have been connected to Emmanuel. And we started to get the calls. We did. But they were amazing. They were calls that said, we're praying for you. We're praying for the children. How are the children? How are things for the children, is the staff still there? And I realized, God, it's all about the children. It's all about your love for them. All these years, it has not been about my dad. It has not been about Jonathan. It has been about these children. And that I can do. Because I am, as I've been here, Zachariah, and I'm assuming everyone knows Zachariah, he did a documentary for Emmanuel Ministries. And when I came here, he said, let's take advantage of your time here, and we can do an interview. And at the moment, it sounded, yeah, I guess we can take advantage of the time. And then I was just like, oh, no. I don't think I could do that. I don't like to be on camera. And then I told him, you know what? Let's not do that again. Let's do the stories about the children. You know, because really it isn't about whoever is leading that or whoever is the Lord is using to manage it. I'm just an instrument. My husband is just an instrument. Everyone there that works there, we're just instruments. And we want the Lord to help us understand that more and more each day. Because it takes for you to understand that He is the one for you to be less and less. And it's not easy, because we human beings like to be the important ones. We like to be it. But He wants us to make Him that. The Lord, I felt worried, and I felt there were a few days there before I could eat and before I could sleep. And I just started to read the word of the Lord, you know, and the word trust kept coming back. And, you know, in Nahum 1:7, I don't know how you say Nahum in English. It says, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust Him. And I said, yeah, I think these are times of trouble for us right here. So I think I need to really find refuge in You and really find trust in You. And then I started to think, okay, I'm the director of Emmanuel Ministries. And I knew what to do in the day-to-day because I did that. But then it was like, okay, what am I supposed to do about the overall? And I started to pray, God, what do You want? What do You want? I want to do what You want. And we were providing food and shelter for the children, and we were providing education, and we were providing arts and a dance ministry and medical care and dental care. And then I heard the Lord saying, I want their hearts. And I thought, oh, how do I get that? I know how to get them an elementary education. I know how to get them a nutritious meal. I know how to help them become self-sufficient, but how do I get their hearts for You? And I just said, you know, God, You need to really show me how to do this. You need to show us how to do this. You need to bring the people, and You need to bring the resources, and You need to do this, because what You're asking of me, it's impossible. And once again, He said, I'm asking You to be an instrument. I'm not asking You to do all of this. The next week after Jonathan had been arrested on Wednesday, we were expecting a semi-truck. And I didn't know what a semi-truck was at the time. So they said, a semi is coming with donations for Emmanuel. And I thought, great, you know. And Jonathan is in jail. And Kirsten's husband is in jail, and they were the ones who unloaded the stuff. And my husband was in the hospital with his mom, and all the men in our families were gone. So I, you know, get up in the morning at 6 in the morning, and I go to the storage place where Convoy of Hope was the ministry that was sending us the semi. And when I arrived, there was a big trailer there that said, Convoy of Hope. And I met the driver, and he was a man in his late 60s. So I thought, okay, he's not going to help me unload. And Karen and Jonathan's wife, Sonia, and myself were there. And I'm looking at this truck, and I'm thinking, there's no way we can do this. There is no way we can do this. And I just started to cry and pray, cry in panic, you know, and desperation, and just started to say, God, you need to send angels, because this is not going to, I cannot do this. The driver, you know, drove the semi into the storage room and the storage place, and we had, you know, the storage doors up and ready to go. And another three friends, female friends, arrived, and there were six of us. And then his wife arrived, and she was in, you know, her late 60s, and her two granddaughters, 7 and 9 years old. And I said, okay, God, you know, you are powerful, and if you want us to do this, we're going to be able to do this. And we started to unload, and the donation was boxes of 6 gallons of Clorox bleach at a time. And boxes of, so this is what we're having to carry out of the trailer to put into the, and then the thing that unloads the trailer breaks, so the pallets cannot be lowered to the floor. We actually have to get them from the trailer and then down. And 2 hours have been going by, and we've been doing this, and this little section of the trailer has been unloaded. And my back is about to break, and I'm thinking, you know, we're not going to be able to do this. And I said, Father, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you, and you're going to make this happen. And it's in those little practical things, you know, that God shows himself powerfully. We've been going to this storage place for years. We've stored things there for years. And I started to walk because I started to cry, and I didn't want the driver to, you know, just, what is wrong with this woman? You know, she is. And when I walked towards the back, there was a group of men unloading wood for this, I guess it's a lumber yard in the back. And I saw them with those little carts, you know, that you go up there and you bring the stuff down. And they were doing this from a trailer that they had there. And I thought, huh, maybe they could come and help. And I drove my van, and I asked who the manager was, and they told me who he was, and I went there. And I said, I have 6 women in a semi-truck and a lot of stuff that I need to unload. I run a children's home in Mexico, and I need help. And he looked at me, and probably my face said more than my words, because he said, let's go look, because I don't know what you're talking about. We went, and he saw what was going on. And within 5 minutes, he had 6 men come. He had one of those little carts, you know, a forklift, thank you. And in half an hour, the whole semi was unloaded, organized in those storage places, and we were done. And I said, I can trust you. You are real. And if you can help me unload a semi truck, we're going to be able to do this, because you are powerful, because you own this world, and because you love those children. I started to seek him with all my heart. And when I was thanking the driver, and I was just saying, thank you so much for bringing this, I asked the granddaughters, what are your names? And they said, my name is Hope. And the other one said, and my name is Grace. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Because in that moment, I knew that he was telling me, Hope and Grace are coming your way. And I want those children to be cared for, so I will give you everything you need. Everything you need. And Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. In John 4:1. And my trust, I thought I trusted God. I really didn't know. I've been learning this 6 months. And every week, there's an opportunity to learn to trust him. It's been an amazing requirement of surrender. Because, as Chris said, you know, I like to be the girl that gets it done. You know, and when you surrender, you're not the girl that gets it done. You know, you're the person that has to depend on the Lord. You're the person that has to wait on Him. You're the person that, you know, it doesn't matter what great ideas you have. You have to sit and wait and be patient. And I think that's, you know, that's all of us have to come to a point in our lives where that happens. And I just started to seek Him. How do I do this, God? How do I get the hearts of the children? How do I get the money to support them? How do I had all these questions, and I realized that I knew nothing because I, you know, had so many questions. I had summer coming and summer groups. I had no idea about building anything. I had, and all these challenges, you know, that were coming before me. And everything in me wanted to start to panic and scream and say, I can't do this. But then His peace would come, you know, and then He was just like, be quiet and trust, because I'm your strength. You know, Isaiah 30:15 tells us that. And we sometimes read our Bible and go through these things that don't really say a lot to us. But then when times like this come, then the word of the Lord becomes your life, because that's what tells you every day what you're supposed to be, where you're supposed to be. When you know that God is having a calling on your life, is really scary, because all this time you think that the Lord had a calling on your life, and you kind of knew, you know, that that was what you were supposed to be doing. But when He's really there and He says, okay, your calling is to trust me, then that gets really difficult, because it's the unknown. It's the invisible. And it's where the whole faith, you know, comes in. And I wanted to say, you know, there were nights when I would sit in my living room and I would weep and cry, and I didn't even know what to pray for. And I remember one day saying, you know, God, it'd be really awesome if I could do a list of questions and then fax them to you. And then you could fax them back, you know, and it'll be great if you say no, or wait, or yes, because that's the kind of person that I, you know, that it would be easier. But He was quiet, you know, and the only thing I said was, trust me. And I had a friend ask me, so how's your new job? How's your new position? Is it wonderful, you know? And I was like, well, you know, it's really easy, and it's really hard. Because trusting in the Lord can be the easiest thing you can do. But then it can be the hardest thing you can do. Because when you have a payroll of $5,000 on Friday, and you have $300 on Thursday morning in your bank account, and it's not like I could take one of the kids, you know, and go and sell him so that I can, you know, have it, you know, for that day. You start to wonder, I don't know how you're going to do this, God, you know. And then you have to say, but I'm going to trust you, because I know you're going to do this. And you have to believe, because you don't have another choice. The other choice is to think that you can fix it. The other choice is to think that you can do something that can make it work. But He doesn't want us to think that way. He wants us to be in a place where we say, you are my only choice. You are my only option. And in the practical things in the day-to-day, I wanted to do what God wanted me to do. And I was telling Janet last night, you know, it came to the point where all day long I was just, God, what am I supposed to do about this? You know, little things, you know. And I felt really awkward, because I thought, I really don't know anything. Because I'm even asking about, should I say yes to this? Should I say no? Really hesitating, really afraid, you know, of what I was supposed to be doing, you know. And then the Lord just said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. And that relieved me, because it says, in all your ways. That means that if I'm supposed to hire this person, you have to say, Lord, in it. You have a say in it. If I'm supposed to, you know, say yes to the garbage to come on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, you have a say in it. in all your ways. And it gave me so much peace to know that he was going to be involved in everything. In everything. And my job was to pray and seek him. You know, the Lord is in our culture, and not maybe in every family in Mexico, but particularly in my family, the normal thing was for men to lead. The normal thing was for the men to carry the mantle. And it has been very difficult for my father to see a woman in leadership, because that wasn't his plan. And it's been a time for growth, even for my dad. And we've sat down and we've talked about different things, you know, and he's been very candid to me, and he said, you know what, it wasn't my plan. My plan was for one of my sons to be in the leadership. And this is very uncomfortable for me. And this is very awkward. But I am going to... It wasn't my plan, but I can see it was God's plan. And I'm going to trust in that. And I'm going to help you and support you. And I, you know, when this whole thing happened, I thought, God, my father is 75 years old. He has served you for 45 years. And I know that all of us have to learn something during this situation. But I didn't think my dad needed to still learn stuff. I thought, you know, that he had it all figured out. I thought that because he served you for 45 years, he had it made and he didn't need to worry about anything else. And yet, here we were, you know, him going through a lot of pain and him having to learn that God really doesn't have a certain parameter of who he can use. You know, he uses who he wants. He uses who he pleases. And just like, you know, the story of David and Goliath, as incomprehensible as that was for the whole army of Israel to see a young boy go down there and face a giant, it felt the same way. You know, it felt like I was not the appropriate person. It felt like I didn't know enough. It felt that I wasn't ready enough. And it felt like I needed to fight against a whole world of men that do not accept women in the same way. But God was saying, you know, I'm going to use who I want, because that's the kind of God I am. And again, he would bring me back to Esther. If you keep silent, if you don't want the struggles, if you don't want, you know, all of this, deliverance will come from somewhere else. So every day we have to make a choice. Every day we have to say, I have hope and I have grace that you have given me, so I will be able to do this. Even in the midst of everything else that is going on. Let him use you. And let's trust in him. As hard as that is. It is not fun. And it's very uncomfortable when he's shaping you and when he's teaching you. Because we have to depend on the Lord. We have to obey. And trust is a very easy word to say. But when we're there and there, it's not that easy. But he takes you to a place where you have no other choice. You know, in Romans 15:13, he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I started to seek the Holy Spirit every day, because I started to understand that what was in me was what's going to impact the children. The Lord said, you cannot give what you don't have. If you don't have joy, you will not be able to give joy to the children. If you don't have hope, you will not be able to give that to the children. If you don't have love and trust, you will not be able to do that. So I realized that, yes, some of the things depended on me. But it was on me and my diligence to seek the Lord. And he started to bring the peace, and he started to bring the joy. And we meet, there's about 10 people that are now part of what the leadership of Emmanuel is. And we fast every Wednesday, and we meet every Wednesday to pray. And the Lord has brought so much wisdom and so much peace through that whole thing. And, you know, we went back to the story of Esther, what she said, fast for 3 days and pray for me so that the Lord can save us. And that's what it's felt to us like. You know, it's felt like that lifeline where we have to depend on the Lord. And it gets really funny because we see each other, you know, and we go through the kitchen at the home and we smell the good food, you know, and we kind of wonder. And I'm like, oh, no, this is not where I'm supposed to go, you know, and I have to turn around. But at the end of the day, it's a precious thing that the Lord is doing, because the whole day we have to be learning. You know, every time we feel hungry, we know that we're supposed to be praying for the children, that we're supposed to be praying for his provision. And every week, the Lord is doing miracles. Every week, every week. All of us are given a choice. We can be given a choice of, here is 100 children that you need to take care of for me, or here is the Sunday school that I want you to take care of. Here is this new Emmanuel Covenant Church that I want you to be a part of. Here is this new adventure that I'm doing, that things might not look, you know, straight out how they're going to look, that there might be a lot of unknown in front of you. But I want you to trust me. I want you to take that step of faith. And all of us, you know, need to go before the King and just say, if we perish, we perish. But there is no meaning in living our lives for our sake. Because at the end of the day, there's nothing there. When you live for the Lord and you let him lead your life and you let him, you know, really learn how to trust him in the day-to-day, life makes so much more sense. Even if it looks so not in the outside. Even if, you know, people go there and, you know, they want to meet the leader of Emmanuel, and I show up, you know, and they're like, oh, you know, because people expect a 40-year-old, a 50-year-old, you know, a person with experience, you know, and then I say, you know what, I am not the leader of Emmanuel Ministries. God is. I'm just letting him use me. And if you want to be part of this, he can use you too. So what I want to say today is that the story of Emmanuel is really not about the Lopez family. We are very involved in it because God has given us the privilege to serve him through it. But more and more every day I find out the story of Emmanuel is really God making a way to take care of the children of Mexico, to take care of children in great need, in need of his love, in need of his presence, in need of understanding why they are here. Because for them, life doesn't make sense. When you are abused and you are hungry and you are in the midst of poverty, life doesn't make sense. Life is painful and has no meaning. But then when you come to a place where you are loved and you have food and you are cared for, then you can think about, I have a destiny. I have a future. Someone loves me. And that's what this is all about. It's about making a difference, even if it takes one child at a time. And it doesn't need to be a child in Emmanuel, Mexico. It can be a child, you know, here in Minnesota. It can be someone that is reaching out to you that needs to know that God loves them. It can be God just wants to use you. All you have to do is just open your heart and say, yes, I want to be used. And as scary as that can be, I promise you, he will be there. It doesn't matter how big that semi-truck is, he will help you unload it. Because he is God. So I just encourage you today to let him turn your life upside down and inside out. Because then is when life makes sense. Can I pray? Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love, and we thank you because in the midst of trial, you become more real than ever. I pray for every person here that is going through struggles. Show them, Father, that you are there and that they can trust you. Show them, Lord, that you are it, and that you want all of us to open our hearts and just be willing to be instruments for your glory, for your kingdom to be established, for your presence to be known. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.